want to talk to you this morning about connecting with God. One of the things that I think even we as Christians need help with is making this connection with God. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. But how many know that there's other voices in our world today that would like to distract us and speak louder than the voice of God is out there? When I was a little kid growing up, we had, my dad bought 3 2-year-old Shetland ponies. And the reason he brought three of them was because there was only two of us, but he wanted that third one so we could get it broke so we could sell it to pay for the other two. My dad was a businessman. We had this little black pony, and he was hard to catch, and so we put a black inner tube around his neck so we could just grab him because he tried to get away. These little ponies were pretty ornery, and he was a black pony. And it was a black inner tube, and he had a lot of hair on him. And we forgot that we had put that black inner tube on him. And that inner tube started looking bad. But that inner tube started choking on him, and we didn't even know it. So he told Dad looked out the window. He said, "Something's wrong with that pony." So he came out to look at him, and he found that inner tube and cut that inner tube off. Now, the point is that pony couldn't get that inner tube off by himself. Had to have some help. And me and Russ, we were like 5 and 6 years old. We didn't know anything about that. We were like, when we catch the pony, we just want to ride. But the ponies were afraid of Dad. You know why? Because we didn't know how to discipline the ponies, but Dad did. And so when Dad come out and tried to get close to them ponies, they didn't want him getting close because Dad, he was kind of a tough old guy. But actually, he was the one that saved that pony's life. The same God that was in the Old Testament, the same God that did everything that happened in the Old Testament to protect his people and to protect his name, is the same God that was in the New Testament to protect his people and to protect his name, is the same God that's here today to protect his people and to protect his name. It's the same God. He is a loving and a giving God in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Today, he is a just God. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and today. By the way, Israel, the nation of Israel, is God's chosen people. God will defend Israel, and he'll use Israel to defend itself. He will give them, everybody like, how can a little bitty nation defend itself against, you look at the little spot on the map that is Israel and how it's going up against all these other nations. And our nation, God help us, we're getting kind of stupid too about it. Amen. We need to jump in and bless the nation of Israel. We need to jump in and be a part of them because the nation that blesses Israel, the scripture says, God will bless. So we've got to pay attention to these things. By the way, God will discipline people who come against his people. He'll discipline people that come against his name, that come up against his word. It's the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The thing about the Old Testament is that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they discovered their nakedness. And because they were naked, God had to kill an animal. There had to be a sacrifice made to cover their nakedness or to cover their sin. All through the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed because God is a just God, and in order for your sins and my sins and the sins in the Old Testament to be forgiven, there had to be a sacrifice because justice will always prevail. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, I will be that sacrifice. He shed his blood on the cross for yours and my sins because he is a just God. He said, God so loved that he gave his son so that we could come into the presence of God and connect with God. And he could take the inner tube off of our neck called sin that we don't have the power to do by ourselves. I might be telling somebody something new today, but I'm telling you, you don't have the power to take your own sin away. You're not that good. You can't do all the work in the world. You can't give to all the organizations, do all this, do everything, and deserve salvation. Jesus made it possible through his sacrifice for you to come in to the presence of a holy God. Don't ever take that for granted. So in the Old Testament, in Exodus, God told Moses he wanted a tabernacle. He chose a man named Bezalel to be the general contractor. And here's what it says that he placed his spirit inside Bezalel so that he would know exactly how to construct the temple. The spirit came in him for a purpose. Then in 1 Samuel, the Holy Spirit came upon King Saul. And when that happened, they were able to prophesy, 1 Samuel 19. The book of Judges, the Holy Spirit came on Samson to give him strength to deal with the Philistines. And when that happened, if you were a Philistine, you better get out of the next county because somebody's going to get hurt because of the power of the Holy Spirit that came on Samson. But that same power that came on Samson to protect God's chosen people was there when Samson made the choice to give in to Delilah and mess Samson's life up. God honored Samson's choice to be obedient or not to be obedient. How many knows what I'm talking about? He's going to honor whatever choice we make to allow the Holy Spirit to come in us and on us. And then nobody in the Old Testament ever got what you and I have. Because Jesus said, I'll send the Holy Spirit to be with you and not just to be with you, we preached about it last week, but to be in you. They didn't have this constant presence of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit had not yet been given. Ephesians tells us that when we become Christians, we're marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guarantee, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, until that redeeming time who are God's possessions. By giving you his spirit, God's telling you that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's saying, you're mine. He's also saying, I'll be back. Coming back. He's coming back for a church that's looking for his appearing. The Holy Spirit is God with us. I apologize if I use too many horse illustrations, but that's all I know. But when you're training a horse, the purpose of training a horse is so that whenever you get in situations, you put a pattern in that horse where he understands his job. He understands what he's supposed to do. He understands what he's not supposed to do. And when we're roping off a horse, we're asking a lot out of that horse. We're asking for a lot of discipline out of that horse because he needs to know when to do what and when not to do. So when you back a horse back in that roping box, he's supposed to stand there like a statue and just wait until you give him the signal. And when you give him that signal, he blows up on that steer and he rates off of that steer. He does whatever you ask him to do. But he still needs a pilot. Still needs somebody on top, because if you put a horse back in that box and you run a steer out that horse, they don't make a horse that's going to do everything right without the pilot, without somebody riding them. The Holy Spirit inside of us, we in our, I'm not going to say, all those other people that are ate up with pride, they think they can do it by themselves. We don't have none of those here, right? I mean, do you ever think and figure that, well, I got this. Doesn't work out so well. The Holy Spirit assures us our faith is more than a religion. We're not just going through the motions. We're being very intentional because we have the guide, the Holy Spirit, the helper, the one who teaches us all things. Christianity is more than a religion. It is an empowering relationship. All other religions are based on the idea that more rules we follow, the more righteous we become. You ever been in one of those? Some of these religions, they believe the more you do for God, the greater you'll get to different levels of heaven. If your works, so many religions are religions of work because they know that they can't trust you to follow their religion if there's not works involved. It's not by works we are saved, but it's because of the grace of God that we are saved. When we have God's grace and we experience God's grace and we experience the power of the Holy Spirit and we let God come in and he takes this bondage off of us that chokes us down, this thing called sin, then we're able to thrive and be healthy, and we do things for Jesus. We work for the kingdom of God because we love him and because we want to do it, not because we have to do it. That's the difference between the true religion, Jesus relationship, and all the other religions of the world. Their religions are religions of works, but God's religion is a religion of love and grace and mercy and justice, and he wants us to do it because we want to, not because we have to. He wants that. In other words, rules may change our behavior, but God's rules makes us better people by changing our heart. Every choice, decision, every passion we embrace, we are adopting and settling for a life and a lifestyle that we either voluntarily or sometimes involuntarily adopt that becomes our destiny. Whether it's good or bad, it's according to the choices that we make in life. Sadly, many say, I'm in as long as I agree with the rules. As long as I'm in the mood. As long as I want to obey the rules. As long as I feel like it. We live in a feeling, touchy-feely world, right? And a lot of, well, I just don't feel like it. However, God's rules will definitely make us better people and give us peace and power through the help of the Holy Spirit. And when God placed his Spirit in us, he did so his Spirit could change us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. You see, with our soul, we are made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and what it is. We react from everything that happens and the circumstances that we find ourselves. We react from that. And this is the world. This is the way the world teaches us to act and to react. It's according to what people say about us or about what we look like on the outside. But God is saying, I'm interested in what you look like on the inside, because if we can get the inside right, everything on the outside will eventually become right. Everybody say it's a process. Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthians. We went to Greece and Corinth was the richest center in Greece, and it generated a culture that promoted prosperity, but also promoted pleasure. It hosted a plethora of religions that were as diverse as its own paganism and the new Christianity that Paul brought into Corinth. You remember he wrote two letters to the Corinthians. Paul never permitted sexual immoral behavior in the church, yet he remained compassionate when dealing with people. In Corinth, there was a separation of the body from the spirit. He said, your body is God's instrument intended for his work and for his glory. The Corinthian Christians had serious trouble with this. When it came to the body, they insisted, I have a right to do anything. Does that sound familiar? Their philosophy conveniently separated the flesh from the spirit. Have fun with the flesh and honor God with the spirit. Wild on Saturdays, worship on Sundays and Mondays. You can have it all. So the way it turns out, we are either spirit-led from the inside out, or we are soul-led from the outside in. The soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions, the seat of our feelings and the desires, the things that you desire, the things that you want. And many times, we in America today, we are ate up with what we want. So it's the seat of our feelings, our desires, our affections comes from the soul. The spirit is transformed by a holy God that connects with God, and our spirit is actually dead until our spirit is made alive by this process that Jesus calls being born again. What he's saying is that you must be born again. In other words, your spirit must take on life through the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit lives inside of you, the Spirit, the mind, the will, and the emotions are subject to the Spirit. But when we live in the world and the Spirit doesn't work in us, the world calls the shots for our lives, and we react to how the world treats us, and we react any way that we feel like reacting. But when God rules in us, we react according to God's will and God's purpose. The Holy Spirit, the question is, are we led by the Holy Spirit, or are we led by the soul, we have these senses, sight, feeling, touch, hearing. What's the other one? Yeah, y'all know. But when we allow those things to rule us, is there anybody here? There's times in my life when I felt like I wasn't living. I've always wanted to follow God and always tried to follow God, but there's times I have had times in my life that the things of the world influenced me away from God. Anybody with me so far? Yeah. And when that happened, this is what's interesting. I belong to God. My spirit belongs to God. And when our spirit belongs to God, when we worship God, it's that spirit that connects with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us that gives us the strength and the power to overcome all of the things that are bombarding our heart and our mind and our body and our soul, the temptations of our body, the temptations of our soul. What happens is the Spirit of God overrules that because we have made a choice in our mind to allow the Spirit of God to rule over the flesh. But in the middle of that, in the issues of my life, God continued to bless me. Is there anybody here that God blessed you when you were kind of stupid? Raise your hand. And I asked God, yeah, thank you. And I was like, man. And I prayed one time. I said, God, I don't know. I don't get it. Why do you keep blessing me? Why do you keep blessing me? And I know me. And you know me better than I know me. And I felt like, you can judge whether this was of God or not, but I felt like God spoke to my heart. He said, Randy, I'm blessing what I see in you, in your heart, not what you're doing on the outside. I see that you want to do right, but you're not doing right. But I'm blessing what you're going to be, not what you are right now. Begs the question, First Corinthians 6:15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? In other words, we are connected to God himself. Our body is connected. Your body, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, is we are members of Christ himself. What work is more important than God's work? Doesn't it stand to reason that God's tool, our body, should be maintained? Whoa, preacher. Don't be talking, I mean, I'm with you so far, but don't be talking about my body now. You just fasten your little seatbelt. Well, we've heard it all, right? Eat a balanced meal. Exercise daily. Avoid fat and red dye. Eat vegetables, protein, and get plenty of rest. And I do believe we've all blown it at one time or another, right? To one degree or another, we have mismanaged our bodies. Paul said this, 1 Timothy 4:8, he said, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. In other words, when we give way to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, there's value for every part of your life to maintain God's temple, because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Feed it, rest it. When he needs a faithful helper, a servant who is rested enough to serve, fueled enough to work, alert enough to think, let him find that in you so that you'll be ready. He uses you for his glory. Greater still, he lives in you, his spirit. Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Paul wrote these words to counter the Corinthians' sex obsession. Did you know they had it? They had one of them. Oh, I'm thinking maybe we might have one of them here in America. One of them sex obsessions. Did he say sex in the pulpit? Sex. Yeah, I did. First Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. It reads the prior sentence, all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. What a salmon scripture, right? No message swims upstream more than this message in America today. If we are going to allow God to have our bodies, to have things that he has blessed us with and give him his equal due, it's going to be against the current of this world that we live in. You know, the sexual anthem for today, right? It's my body. I'll do what I want to. Yeah, thank you. You got it. But God's firm response is no. It's not your body. It's mine. If you belong to God, your body is not your own. It don't belong to you. Sexual desire must be directed and disciplined if we are going to live as God intended. So what is your strategy? You got to have one of them. What is your strategy for curbing and controlling your sexual appetite? Develop a strategy and stick to it. So what is the failure? What is the cost of failure to control it? It's found in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It said, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? See, these kind of messages, people don't want to hear that if you're practicing sexual immorality, you're not going to heaven. Nobody wants to hear that anymore today. That's why nobody's shouting me down yet. Then he said, don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality, I didn't make this up, or are thieves or are greedy people, I'm going slow for your benefit. Or drunkards, or are abusive. If you're abusive, if you're verbally abusive to your spouse, and we always jump on the men for that, but women get abusive to their, you know, or your kids. Or kids, you being abusive to your parents. Stop it. Or cheat people. Goodness, we just come off income tax, right? Oh, Lord, help us all. I got to tell you this. It's not my sermon. We sold some land this past year and did pretty good on it. And then our tax lady's like, this is what you got to pay. I'm like, and man, it's April the 14th. Isn't that the day, tax day? Well, okay, for you. April 15th. And I get up, and I don't hardly ever, on Bible Gateway, I don't hardly ever get up. They got one scripture that pops up that day. And that one day, I just opened up, popped that scripture up. It's like, and it said, pay your taxes. I'm like, okay, I'll pay my taxes. Don't cheat. Cheat people. It says, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it says. It says, some of you were once like that. You right? But you were cleansed. You were made holy. The only one that can make you holy is a holy God. You can't give away something you don't have. God won't give away something he don't have. A holy God is the only one that can make you holy. Hallelujah. You were made right with God by calling on the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 12, you say, and this, he's talking to the Corinthians. Remember the Corinth, Corinthians, you say, I am allowed to do anything. Isn't that what our flesh wants to always say? Everybody do this. So you're allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. See, some of these things, even some things that are not labeled sin can become addictive. Anybody ever get addicted to work? Anybody ever get addicted to baseball? Anybody ever get addicted to roping? You all laugh because I rope. Wait, I'll just say what you do in a minute. No. You know what I'm saying? Anything can become an idol if it takes the place of your spirit connecting with God's spirit, of you worshiping God, anything. And we always pick on the drug addicts and the everybody else. So in verse 18, it says, run. Everybody say run. For us to run. Run from sexual sin. No other sin is sin so clearly affects the body as this one, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Do you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. I didn't make this stuff up. If we belong to God, we don't belong to ourselves. And the church said, amen. Amen. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. He bought you with the price. The high price was his son, right? His sacrifice, justice, the same just God, the same God that said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the same God that allowed sin to come into the world because man chose sin, the same God that wants to cut the tube, inner tube off your neck, the same God who wants to connect with you, wants you to be whole, the same God who wants you to be strong in the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, the same God who says you are not your own, you have been bought with the price. I know better for you than you actually know for yourself, because I live in you. I know you better because I live inside of you. I know how you are, and I can lead you, and I can guide you, and I can give you direction in the paths of righteousness. I can help you be a stronger man. I can help you be a stronger woman. I can help you as you come into my presence and you recognize that I am a holy God, not like Samson whenever he used the Holy Spirit to beat off the Philistines, but then he said, you just stay there for a while, and I'm going to go over here to Delilah for a minute, then I'm going to come back over here to the Spirit of God, then I'm going to go over to Delilah for y'all with me. In Acts 2:38, it says, when the crowd at Pentecost in Jerusalem heard the first gospel message, Peter preached about Jesus being the Son of God, the Messiah that had been prophesied for centuries, and the crowd believed the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But Peter also explained to them, it says, that they were personally responsible for Jesus dying and that their sins put him on the cross. They were so convicted by this truth that they interrupted Peter's sermon to ask him what they could do to undo the damage of their sinfulness. Peter responded, repent, turn away from your sin, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And they believed Jesus, and their belief in him led them to repent of their sins and to be buried in the waters of baptism, to be risen in a new life. And because of this, they made the decision. God gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Several years back, we were having church, and as usual, I preached too long. We was in a service a lot like this one. And I'm like, it's later than it is right now. And I'm like, because you know, I generally give everybody a chance to accept Christ as their personal Savior. And because I think that's the greatest, I mean, that's why we have church, is so we can accept and repent of our sins. Lord, I give my life to you. But it was late, this one service. It was real late. And I was like, we just got to go. So I start to pray. And when I started to pray, somebody over on this side hollered, I want to get saved. Yeah. Like, I want to get saved. Said, I want to get saved. Today, I want to get saved today. I said, well, we got to, no, I didn't say that. He came up and gave his heart to Jesus. But I thought about that when I thought that they interrupted Peter's sermon because it was just like, man, I need this Jesus, and I want to make things right with the Messiah that came on my behalf, the one who left his throne in heaven so that he could come down and be sacrificed for the justice, and bring justice to me, for me. I don't understand that kind of love, but that's the kind of love that I can appreciate, and that's the kind of God that I want to follow. That goes way beyond religion. That goes into a relationship with God himself. I want that kind of a deal. And they repented and they were baptized. Connecting with God is the greatest gift that we could ever have, because we are not capable. I don't know if you know that, if you've ever come to grips with yourself or not, like I have, but I figured out that I'm not capable of dealing with my own sin. I said, I'm not capable of dealing with my own stuff. I'm just not that good. I'm not that good. And when I figured out, I didn't have to be afraid of God. He said he'd be a friend that'd stick closer than a brother. He'd be God, but he would also be God in me, that he wanted to walk with me. I didn't want to take him places I was going anymore. I didn't want a deal on Sunday and then a deal on Saturday. I wanted the whole meal deal, Sunday through Sunday, the whole deal. Give me the whole deal. I don't want to mess around anymore with the things during the week that separate me from God. I want to live for God as good as I do on Sunday morning when I'm sitting in church. Connecting with God. That's what I'm talking about. Connecting with God. It's the greatest gift that has ever been afforded to mankind. And it's an individual choice to accept him and his sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of connecting with you, oh God. This morning, I'd like to keep your heads bowed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe if you have, you just really haven't been living for him, I want you to know today that God is not mad at you, that God is saying, I love you, I care for you, I want to spend eternity with you. He'll honor any and every decision you make for yourself. But he wants to spend eternity with you. He said this. He said, if we would confess our sin, he would be faithful. Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only Jesus can do that. So this morning, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, maybe you have. You just haven't been living for him. Simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. Slip your hand up high. Yep, leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it, please. Right up here. Yep, thank you. Yep, thank you, ma'am. Leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it, please. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. When you get your Bible, you can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else? Yep, back in the back. Thank you. Yep.
Yep. Anybody else? Yep, over here. Yep. Thank you. Leave your hands up for a second, please. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I want to get my heart right with Jesus this morning. I don't want to go through another day. I don't want to go through another day without Jesus in my heart. Please don't let this moment run past you. It's the greatest choice you'll ever make in your life. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Everybody that raised your hand, I want you to look up at me. Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Come on up and let me pray with you over here. Back in the back? Yeah, and over here, yeah. Come on, buddy. Yeah, we'll wait on you. Come on. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. What a day. I'm so proud of y'all. Bless your heart. Tell me your name. Bree. Hey, Brandon. Bless you, man. Stay right here. I want to pray with you. Hey, Leah. Kevin. Bless you, man. Anybody else? I don't want to miss nobody. Look here. Here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. This is big stuff. What happens is sometimes people overlook the simple things because our world tells us it's too complicated. You'll never get it figured out. But Jesus made it simple. By faith, we accept him as our personal Savior. So I'm going to help you confess with your mouth, but you have to believe in your hearts. You do that? Okay, let me pray. Y'all just repeat after me. Y'all help us pray. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, to show up for church. And get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now look here. Stay here for a second. Here's what's interesting about this choice that y'all made. Because it was a choice that you... You'll have the same problems you had when you left, when you came. But God's going to help you now because he lives, like we was preaching about it. He's in your, his spirit lives inside of you. And read his word and ask as you read the Bible, this is for everybody, as you read the Bible, ask the question, God, what are you saying to me about this? And he'll speak to your heart and he'll help you. Do me a favor, go visit these guys over here for just a second, if you don't mind. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy for you. Bless you, girl. Man, I love you guys. Thank you. Just stand with me, please. So I'm going to tell you right now, there's somebody that was online. When you prayed, you asked Jesus to come into your heart. And I want you to call me this week. Call the church office and let us know who you are. Because this is for you too. God heard your, I want to say this. God heard your prayer when you invited him to come into your heart. And just know that he knows, and I know it too, but God wants you to know it. I know that happened. How many could do a better job listening to Jesus? I'm telling you, I want to hear God's voice. As I read his word, I want you to speak specifically to me. I want to pray for y'all. Let's raise our hands and surrender to Jesus. Lord, I pray for everybody here today. Help us to hear your word better. I pray, oh God, that you help us to have spiritual hearing aids so we can hear better. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for these that have received you as their personal Savior and changed their eternal destination today. Bless them, Lord, we pray. Bless your church. Bless your people. Help us to follow you closely. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. We got a prayer team. If you need special prayer, love to have you. God bless you richly. Amen.